3, beginning with verse 1, hear now the word of the Lord. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, they approach God with freedom and confidence, therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, the church celebrates what is hopefully a fresh start and a new beginning in a new year. It's a new year, but things are still different, aren't they? We're still not at full capacity here at Fellowship as a church. As far as our ministry goes, we're still being careful because of the COVID-19 pandemic. I wish we didn't have to keep thinking about it. I wish we didn't have to keep making decisions about it as we head into this new year. I wish it was all behind us right now, as probably many of you do. But alas, for sorrow, it is not. We are still dealing with it, and we're doing the best that we can. I believe all of us are doing the best that we can to make good decisions for our families or as a council, good decisions for our church too. And of course, that often means that everyone is not truly happy. Nevertheless, we still march into the future together. And just like last year, we march into a future with no guarantees in life. We're not even guaranteed we're going to make it into next year. We march into a new year, not in complete darkness, but with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Marching or walking into the unknown and facing changes is part of a new day that we face, but change in the unknown doesn't have to be filled with fear and foreboding. Instead, we can look to the light of Christ. We can look to the hope that we have in God. We can look to the promises of God's help and presence and joy as we face a new year together. And so today we look at God's marvelous plan of salvation to the Gentiles. That's you and me. We remember and embrace the comfort of belonging and having been adopted into God's family by God's amazing grace, a mystery that has been revealed in Christ to the world. Epiphany, it's usually a time we remember the Magi coming from the East to honor and to worship Jesus with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Magi's journey from other nations and their following of that star and the light of that star to Bethlehem. Parts of the post-Christmas story. It's important because it indicates the truth that the incarnate Son of God is not just a king for the Jews or a savior to the Jews only, but for people of all nations and peoples of the world. The word epiphany simply means a revelation. Something that was hidden by God has now been revealed and made known. It's a revelation, the light of salvation to the Gentiles, like the wise men, like you and me and the majority of the Christian church today. Epiphany is the light of Christ that shines to the four corners of the earth. Epiphany is about salvation in Jesus Christ, the mystery that Paul calls in Ephesians, the mystery that has been made known or revealed to the world and even the cosmos, if you read Ephesians carefully. And the Apostle Paul says this revelation happens in and through the church of Jesus Christ. No matter how small, no matter how seemingly insignificant that church appears in the world's eyes. So what is truly exciting, I think, about Epiphany is the unity of the people that God calls to himself. Christ is the necessary and only Savior, but not just for a particular group of people. Christ is the necessary and only Savior for all the people of the world. Christ is the light of the world, as he said so himself. So Epiphany is a time to celebrate and remember the broad and mysterious scope of Christ coming into the world to redeem the ones the Father has given him. People from every tribe, every language, every culture, every skin color, every nation. As the days of this new year become longer and longer, we envision the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ reaching more and more of the world, reaching into more and more of the dark. So in our passage of Ephesians chapter 3, the grace of Christ that really stands out to me there, that is seen in the church. The grace of Christ that unifies as seen in the church. It reveals God. It reveals God to the whole cosmos, to the whole world. It is in this unified church that God is revealed. And to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, as he puts it, somehow this ragtag group of diverse people in worship and in mission together is a revelation. It's a mystery of God to the world. This surprising unity called the church reveals something of God's plan of the ages, his plan of salvation. So first, let's take a look at verses 1 through 7 of Ephesians chapter 3. God makes us stewards of grace and servants of the gospel. He makes us stewards, caretakers, administrators of the grace he's given us. And he's made us servants of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ that Jesus saves as well. Stewards of grace, servants of the gospel. Well, that's what he did with the Apostle Paul, who was passing on what he calls the mystery of Christ to the Gentiles or the non-Jewish Ephesians in the Ephesian church. For this reason, Paul begins at verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." See, Paul is physically in prison as he's writing this letter, but he doesn't say that he's a prisoner of the Romans. He's a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. At the end of our passage, he says, "Don't be discouraged that I am in prison, because it is for your glory that I am here." Paul doesn't let his circumstances define who he is and what he's all about. He knows his purpose in life. He's held captive by Christ. He's held captive by Christ first and foremost in the power of the gospel. He's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 2, he says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation." Paul says that he is a manager, he is an administrator of God's grace, a steward, a caretaker of grace. God has given him this mystery of God's grace in Jesus Christ in trust that Paul would do something with this grace that had been given to him and this message, this all-important revelation for the world. Specifically, Paul is called to manage this grace or to administer this grace to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. And he has a specific calling to promiscuously communicate the gospel to people, especially to the Gentiles. This is God's mystery of the ages revealed, the Epiphany, salvation in Christ for all kinds of people equally, not just for one nation, not just for one group of people. Gentiles would not be the ugly stepchildren of the covenant or second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. They would not have to worship in separate spaces and avoid all the holy places. All would be one under Christ in the new covenant, Gentiles, non-Gentiles alike, just as he says in chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. He says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. How much is Paul talking about unity here and throughout this letter to the Ephesians? Keep the unity, for you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. There's a profound unity in the faith as seen in the church. Paul explains the mystery in verse 6 of our reading. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. And he says it three times there in verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus, together, together, together. The great mystery of the ages that has been hidden for so long has now been made known. It's been revealed. It is the great epiphany. The apostles and prophets were made stewards of this grace, that the Gentiles and the Jews are now one body of believers in Christ. This, he says, is the church, one church. The church shows this radical unity of Jew and non-Jew because of justification. Salvation is by grace alone and not by works and not by good looks or good deeds and not through two covenants for two different groups of people. One covenant of grace. That's the mystery and the grace that has been revealed in human flesh in Jesus Christ. That's the epiphany, the light revealed to the world, not just to the Gentiles, but to the cosmos even, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms and to the angels. Let it be known over the airwaves, the Wi-Fi hotspots, make it known to the universe. Jesus is Lord of all and Savior to all. The incarnation, God become human in Jesus, is a really big deal. This is breaking news. Everyone needs to hear it. Look how it brings people together. Paul says in verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. It's through the working of God's power, not Paul's will, not Paul's decision, but God's power that compels him. The good news, the mystery of God's grace in Jesus for all was given to him, and this grace has enlisted Paul. It has compelled him to be a servant of this gospel. And if we have received the grace of God in Christ, then we too have been enlisted in the Lord's service to be heralds of the gospel good news that Jesus saves. We've been enlisted as stewards of his grace, the grace that has been given to us, and God has asked us to do something with that grace, and servants of the gospel of Jesus that Jesus saves, the gospel that God has given to us too, and God wants us to do something with that gospel. So secondly, this morning, I want to take a look at that second half of our passage, verses 8 through 13. God makes himself known to the cosmos through his people, through the church. God makes himself known to the cosmos through his people, through the church. He makes us stewards of grace that he's given us. He's made us servants of the gospel. And the gospel enlists us, compels us to go to our neighbors, tell them the good news, and to make fellow followers of Jesus. Grace is given along with the Great Commission. But as I mentioned earlier, God makes himself known to the cosmos, to the world, through the people, his people in the church. And so the revelation, the epiphany, is not just through individuals and individual lives, but the revelation of the mystery of God's grace in Christ is made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms through the collective body, the corporate body, the oneness of the church, the assembly of God's people together, together, together. Church membership matters. Because our individual voices and efforts are amplified when we are formally joined together as one, when we connect one another, commit ourselves to one another and Christ and to the mission of the church when we are one, when we display that oneness to the world. Paul says in verse 8, although I am less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given me And for what reason? This grace was given to me, he says, he continues, to one, preach to the Gentiles the boundless or the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul knows his purpose in life, to preach to the Gentiles about Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Paul, and then this is the unfathomable, the immeasurable, the inexhaustible resources of Christ. And that's why he was given grace by God's power. And secondly, verse 9, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. To make plain to everyone the ministration of this ministry. A mystery. But some would argue how plain Paul really makes things. Which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. And thirdly, verse 10, his, God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the cosmic goal of the church, to speak truth of Christ to all powers, not just truth to power, the truth of Christ to power, to preach the truth of Christ to power. To all angels, to corrupt human structures and leaders, let it be known that Christ is Lord of all. The very existence of the Church of Christ in the world, corrupt authorities, racist, sexist, human structures, and oppressive governments, the very existence, you see, of the church worshiping, kneeling, and praying together in the world and witnessing to Christ as Lord, is a threat to the evil powers of this world. When the message of grace, an act of grace, has its way in people's lives, when unity in the church between men and women, between black and white, between African and American, Russian, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, when unity in the church is established and practiced, then the powers of the world will know the manifold wisdom of God being worked through the church and seen in the church. Church becomes a light to the world as we display that kind of unity. The church, as small and humanly insignificant as the one in Ephesus, was an outpost for the kingdom of God in a dark and barren world. And the Apostle Paul saw it that way. The small church in Ephesus was a beacon of light, a beacon of revelation, an epiphany to the world of the mystery of the unifying grace of God in Christ and the manifold wisdom of God. Yeah, Paul went to prison for this little church. Paul went to prison for this small Gentile church. Paul had high hopes for this small church, imperfect church, in the middle of Pagansville, Ephesus. Paul knew what could happen when grace was let loose in people's lives. He knew that unity in the church was a supernatural thing, something that God could do. And oh, what a witness that would be to the world. God is bringing all things and all people together under the rule of Christ Jesus. God makes himself known to the cosmos through his people, through the unity of the church, the united bodily presence of Christ in the world today. Could it be that God is making himself known to the world today through our little church? So remember, Epiphany of the Lord is more than about some wise men who visited Jesus a long time ago. Epiphany means that the grace of God has been revealed to people like you and me. It has come this far over the ages, Gentiles. That grace has been given to you and to me in trust, a grace of which we are stewards, gospel of which we are servants. God trusts us to do something with that grace that has been given. Because grace enlists, grace calls us, it compels us to ministry, every one of us, and not just the so-called professionals. So I encourage you to allow God's grace today to move in your life, to minister and to love someone else today and in this new year. Let this charge from 1 Peter 4 be to all Christians be our minister the grace of God faithfully. It's given to the grace of God faithfully. And let's not allow ourselves to be defined by our circumstances or the hardships of the past. We are. We know where our hope comes from. We know what is our only comfort in life and in death. And let that gospel also be the glue between you and Christians from other traditions too. Don't forget the gospel that unites, the unifying grace of Christ in the church, which is the revelation of God to the cosmos. God has shown us the unsearchable riches of Christ, a mystery made known by way of revelation from the Lord. The Lord has revealed it. Has revealed it in Jesus Christ. God loves you with a transforming love and grace that reaches to the depths of our being. So may the mystery and the manifold wisdom of Christ and His church grab our imaginations in this new year and inspire us to be of His grace and good servants of the gospel. May it be so. Would you pray with me? God of grace and truth, we praise you for shining the light of your Son and our Lord Jesus into the world and changing it forever. Thank you for making personal change possible. Thank you for the hope of eternity and the wisdom to live today in ways that bring joy and wholeness to ourselves and to others we meet. Bless us in this new year, Lord, that we may help others to see the light of Christ, and that we would see and reflect the light of Christ more clearly in all that we do. And to you be all the glory, Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand for the benediction this morning. And as you go from these walls here out in the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, shine in our hearts, transform our lives, and brighten our world. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you now and always. Amen.